Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specking, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa's here screening your calls. If you want to join us live on the call, you better pick up the phone and dial now. The lines are filling up fast. The number to dial, 347-884-8327. Once you're on that call, press 1 with a question, a comment, a topic, whatever you got tonight. Lisa will screen your calls. We're going to get to those here in just a minute. With me tonight, my special guest from OPS, Tom Bach. Tom, welcome back.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. We're going to jump right into it because usually when we've got you on here, we run out of time and we don't get to all the questions. So I won't do anything too heavy here in the beginning. What have you got for us this week?
Well, you know, I thought we had talked about making sure everybody knows how to do their oil sample and do the oil sample forms and how to read an oil sample. But if you want to do calls, we'll do that.
Well, we will, but I do want to do that because I, you know, the more I look at reports and the more I see how it's really nice when all the information is there and correct, and it's really difficult when there's information missing and you don't know. So why don't we just kind of quickly go through the proper way to take a sample. You know, how should we store a sample? Should we get it right off? How do we fill out the forms? Go through the basics. If I didn't know anything about doing this, how would I do it?
Okay, well, the first thing you have to know is that when you're taking the sample, if you're taking it from oil that you're draining, you don't want to take it at the beginning or at the end of the drain. You want to take it from the flow somewhere in the middle. You're going to fill up a bottle about 3/4 of the way full. They usually need about 4 ounces to be able to do that. And if you're using an OPS system, you've got the sampling valve right on the EcoPure or on the OPS One filter. You can just take the sample right from that point and fill the bottle up about 3/4 of the way full, cap it off, make sure it's sealed up properly, and you're going to need to put a form, no matter which company
okay.
you use.
Well, let me stop you right there. You gave us 2 options, one with the EcoPure or the OPS One, which is a breeze because we have the valve and it's easy. One during a drain, which, you know, is kind of messy, but we can still get it done, and we want to take it during the middle of the drain, not the beginning or the end. What if it's not time to change my oil? I don't have an OPS or an EcoPure on, and I'm concerned something's going wrong and I need to take a sample. How would I do it? Can I?
Okay. You can. They have a tool. Actually, it's a little bottle, a squeeze bottle kind of thing. It's a vacuum that has a plastic tube to it. You push it in and let the vacuum pull it up. Or you can buy an actual vampire tool, they call it, which is kind of like a pump that you pump the oil out of right through the dipstick into the bottle. Or you can take a line off if you wanted to. You can take a line off, an external line, for instance, something going to the air compressor or something like that, and take the oil out of there. But that's not the best way, obviously.
Okay, so they actually make a tool I can run right down the dipstick tube and suck a sample out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can buy those from any of the labs that sell bottles or that actually do reports for you. They usually have them available for you.
Okay, got it. Very good. Now, the forms.
Okay, now on the form, there's always going to be, obviously, the name, address, phone number you want to be contacted. That's important you put that on there. It's also important that you put a unit number for your vehicle so that all of your history stays with the same unit. If you don't put that on, you'll never get the history to be able to look at the trends of what's happening with your wear, what's happening with your end of package, so on and so forth. So it's important that you fill out that correctly and keep the unit number the same. And it's also important to put down the mileage that's on the engine. Not necessarily on the vehicle itself, but on the engine. So if it's been rebuilt 200,000 miles ago, you're not going to put 700,000, you're going to put 200,000. And the amount of time that's on the oil, because that'll make a difference in the additive package and also make a difference in the accumulation of wear metals so they can ID whether it's something going wrong or whether it's just normal over two or three cycles. Then, of course, you want to make sure you put that with the bottle and then ship it to the right place. And you want to move it as fast as possible because the longer you keep it, the more external factors will, for instance, rain, humidity, will change the heat, will change the sample. So you want to try to get it out to them as soon as possible.
On that form that we have to fill out, how important is it to be accurate on your makeup oil?
It helps them to know that you put in, you know, a gallon or if you put in 5 gallons. Obviously, if you put in 5 gallons, over a period of 20,000 miles, something's wrong, but you're actually going to be leaking somewhere. But they'll also look to make sure the oil is in better condition, and the additive package, the acids and so on and so forth will be within a different range than if it was just oil used over the 20,000 miles.
Yeah, actually, one of the things that can be not necessarily a problem, but more of a challenge is sometimes the really tight engines that don't use any oil or consume any, it's a little tougher because you're not freshening up that oil.
Correct. That's where a product like the OPS comes in, where it takes out the water so you don't get the acid buildup, get less oxidation, and you keep out the wear metals down by keeping the solid particles out.
Okay. So the paperwork is important. If they had, let's say they're new to this, and I know I've looked at that form, and when you're not used to it, it can be a little confusing, and there's some boxes on there that don't apply to everybody. Can they call the lab? Can they call you? If they're looking at the form for the first time, who should they call?
They could always call the lab if they're using the OPS label, there's a phone number on there, which is an 877 number that goes directly to the lab. It's someone who's very familiar with the OPS system, and they'll be able to tell them how to fill it out. Or they can always call OPS at our corporate office, and someone there will definitely help them.
And it's worth it if you're not sure about one of those lines or where you just want to double check, it's really worth it to pick up the phone and make the call, because once you learn how to do it right, it's really easy, but it's easy to mess up if you haven't had it explained to you or you don't understand a certain box. So take the time, pick up the phone, make the call, get it done right, and the information is going to be much better.
Correct.
Okay, good. I've got a question that I've been seeing a lot of in samples that I've been looking at, and I'm just wondering, I don't know if something's changed or if I haven't been paying attention to it as much before. I seem to be seeing a lot more samples flagged for nitration.
Okay. Well, here's the deal with the nitration. That nitration level that they use to flag, I believe, is somewhere around 25 or 30 parts per million was where they flag it. Now, that number hasn't changed in the industry for a number of years. I mean, I don't think it's been the same for about 50 years here. But over the last 10 years or so, actually since 2004, so 6 years, all of the oil manufacturers have improved the oil to be able to counteract effects of nitration, because they know that the nitric oxide is being forced back into the oil on any EGR engine, and it also with the DPF filters now getting clogged up, there's more nitrous oxide getting into the oil. So they actually have improved that. And the other thing that you got to look at when you look at that nitration is it's not a hard and fast number. It's an actual mathematical equation. And if the oil sample has half an ounce more or half an ounce less, they multiply it out, and number is not as accurate as it should be. Does that make sense?
Kind of. So how concerned should I be about a nitration level, say, in the 2 or 3 range on severity?
I wouldn't be too concerned as long as my base number, my TBN, was still in the 4 to 5 range.
Okay.
The base is really there to counteract the acid. The nitration is it creates acid. It creates a nitric acid. So if you have the nitration level as high, but the base is still there, the base is counteracting any acid that's there. The other thing with the nitration is if it gets exceptionally high, that's because you have a serious blow-by issue and you're getting exhaust into the oil.
What about, and I've had this happen a couple times because I was looking at that as well. I've got high nitration, maybe even severe, level 4. And yet I've got an engine that doesn't seem to be using any oil, which would indicate that maybe I don't have blow-by. What would cause that?
Again, it's going to be that EGR, just building that up, or it could be the mathematical equation.
Okay.
So I would always, before I changed any oil due to nitration, I would pick up the phone and I would talk to the lab or I would talk to somebody at our place to make sure that you definitely need to change it.
And that's always an option. When you don't understand something on a sample or you have a question, just pick up the phone and call?
Correct. We'd rather have you call and do it, you know, let us walk you through it than just change your oil and waste your money.
Okay. Very good. All right. Good stuff. I'm looking at a lot of phone calls here. So what do you say? Was there anything else you wanted to cover? Do you want to take some calls?
No, let's take some calls.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go to Jim in Idaho. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Jim.
I'm really happy. I just finally got my Echo Pure put on, and it seems like it's really doing a wonderful job because, boy, my oil looks clean. But I've talked to you in the past, Kevin, about having a problem with my engine blowing a lot of soot.
Okay.
And so when I drained my oil and I set my Echo Pure up, I took a sample, and the oil that I sampled was right at 15,000 miles. I took it in, and I had a local shop that had an oil analysis do it just because I was curious just what would show up before I would actually, you know, do my first one for EcoPure down the road.
Okay.
And everything really, according to them, looked normal, except they said there was a high level of fuel in the oil, but they said that can be a false positive due to the oil basically having the same makeup as fuel, basically petroleum products.
Well, I think maybe they're talking about some biofuels, but the fuel usually will give you a reading, and then you're also going to see a little bit of a deviation in your viscosity. Do you remember what the viscosity was?
The viscosity is, let me see here, is that the V100C?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That is 14.3.
All right, well, that's right in the right range for body weight oil. So it's probably – what type of machine was it, do you know? Was it a desktop type machine or a lab that does it differently?
Well, it's a regular desktop. I don't know what the manufacturer name was. It doesn't even list it on my paperwork.
Okay.
But it was a desktop. So
okay.
It was
they're not as accurate. I mean, I've got – one here in front of me that actually happens to be a Speedco, and they don't even record whether it's less than 2% fuel. That's where they start. So you're really not getting a real accurate reading there. But if you're getting fuel and you're getting soot, there's something wrong with the injectors more than likely because you're not burning the fuel properly, and that's where the soot's coming from. You got to remember, soot comes from a bad fuel to air ratio. So you're either getting too much fuel and not enough air, or vice versa.
Right, and I do show soot at 0.6.
Well, 0.6 isn't that high.
Did they say
0.6 was high?
No. They said everything was normal except the fuel was at like 8.2.
Ooh, percent?
It's 8.2 parts per million.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's still,
yeah.
It's still up there, but I mean, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Okay, I did have one other question I wanted to ask you also about Kevin. I didn't know if you could help me out. I can't remember if I heard it from you or if it was from another show on Road Dog. They're talking about California's going in to vote on the CARB law. Is that right? Where they're voting to see if the citizens are going to allow it to pass, and if not, it has to the unemployment has to drop below 5% for 3 consecutive months for it to be enacted.
Yeah, it's Proposition 23. And what it does is kind of puts a hold on CARB. It doesn't really overturn it or make any real major changes to CARB and the truck and bus rule. But what it does is it puts a hold. They can't enact anything new until the unemployment rate in California drops below 5.5% for 4 quarters.
Okay. So I'm looking at a 2001 Wabash reefer, and it's got the true original reefer engine in it. I was told that that's good for like 3 more years. Is that right?
I don't think so. I see that rule was already into effect, so Proposition 23 isn't going to change that one.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think it was right, but they were claiming that they're running their trailers in and out of there all the time, and I thought, well, I heard they're writing tickets.
I think everybody is running trailers in and out, and I think they are writing tickets. So,
right.
You know, I guess it's like speeding. We do it all the time, but if you get caught, you're going to get a ticket.
Right.
But Prop 23 won't change that one. Prop 23 will only put a hold on the upcoming rules and how they're going to be affected. But I'd love to see it get passed. It would be wonderful to see, you know, the brakes put on CARB for a little while.
Well, it definitely wouldn't hurt anything.
Yeah, that's for sure. So are you a California voter?
No, I wish I was.
Oh, yeah, I know. It only helps if we're a California voter. So, but that would definitely be nice. Let's see. I am going to head to Mike in Virginia. Welcome to the program. Hold on one second. Let's. Oh, all right. I'm having. Tom, are you still with me?
I'm still here.
Okay. Looks like I'm having a slight technical difficulty here. So let's fill up about 30 seconds. What words of wisdom do you have for me while I recover?
Words of wisdom. Well, I can always give them your phone number to call Artie if they want to make some purchases. That's always good by me.
Perfect. There you go.
Then call Artie at 203-346-1832. If they need EcoPures or they need filters or they need OPS filters or they want to buy the conversion head to convert the OPS-1 filter to a spin-on filter. As a matter of fact, we're doing a robocall to all of the customers right now. We'll be finished with that next week sometime, so you should be hearing from us by direct phone call as well.
Excellent. Okay, and I think maybe I've recovered. Let's try that again. Mike in Virginia, welcome to the program.
Yeah, go ahead. I wanted to go over that oil sample with
him. Okay. Tom, do you have the oil samples that Lisa pulled up?
Did she just send them to me?
Lisa? Does Tom have the sample that were? Yes, she says she did send it to you.
The only one I have is a Speedco. Is that the one he's talking about?
No, mine was one through OPS.
I do not have it here. Let me go look on the other email. Just what was your question? Maybe I can answer it while I'm looking here.
Did you have a specific question about it, Mike, or you just want to go over it?
Yeah, I wanted you to go over with me. It's my first one.
All right, which is
okay.
Mike? I got it. Okay, I see it. Let me pull it up here.
Is this the first sample that you guys have gone over?
Yes,
it
is.
That's the first one since putting on the echo up here.
Okay. Just give me a second. It's coming up right now. Okay. I've got it. What is your question? You have any question at all here? Or looks like it's normal.
I had never done an oil sample before, so I just need you to explain it to me or read it to me or whatever.
Okay. Well, if you have it in front of you, obviously all the information that you provided to them is up on the left-hand side. It gives you all your unit numbers. And it's also going to give you the oil you're using in the second box coming down. You always want to make sure that you have Shell Rotella T6 full synthetic. If you change that oil, make sure you let them know you changed it. On the right-hand side, there's a severity report, and in this case, you have a severity report of 1, which basically means it's still normal. The next section down, you'll see there's a phone number. That's the number you can call if you have any questions. Then there's a comment section. Now, in your case, there's really nothing wrong, so there's really nothing in there to tell you other than the fact that the formulation that they have on record for the Shell Rotella T6, the boron, magnesium, and calcium are not within the range of what they have on file. So that usually means one of two things. Either you didn't get Shell T6, or you have a newer formulation and Shell hasn't given them the information yet. But if you go down...
I have Rotella with probably about 3 gallons of Rotella synthetic in the oil.
Okay, so you still had some of the older Rotella in there as well?
Well, I mean, it was all fresh. It's like 16,000 miles on the oil, but it's got about 3 gallons of synthetic with the regular mineral oil.
Okay, well, those like, for instance, the boron may not be required to be even in the oil. It's probably still a requirement of your older oil when you mix the two of them. So that's why if you look at your right-hand side, you have the yellowish boxes around the boron, magnesium, and calcium. Do you see that in your report? All right, well, anyway, let me keep going here. So on the left-hand side is all your wear metals. You've got iron, chromium, nickel, aluminum, copper, lead, tin, cadmium, and silver. And all of your numbers are within the parameters of good, because they're better than normal, actually. Then you've got contaminant metals, silicon, which is sand, sodium and potassium, which usually come from antifreeze. Then you've got the multi-source metals and the additive metals. And what they do is for the multi-source metals and the additive metals is they have a chart, and if it falls outside that range, they will tell you whether it's abnormal or normal, a high normal or a critical, that you're that far out. In your case, you've got those three boron, magnesium, and calciums. But they're, you know, it's not, it's what it means is you're mixing the oil and they didn't have the right formulation. Then on the bottom line, you're going to have whether you got the unit time, which is how much time is on your engine, and you got the time that's on the oil, which is good. Next time it'll be 32,000 or 48,000, whatever it happens to be, not just the 16,000 from the last time you changed the filter, okay? Then you have the filter change, the fuel, percent of fuel, soot, water, viscosity at 100 degrees centigrade. In your case, you're at a 14.2, which is right in the middle of the 40 weight range, so you're okay there. Then you've got the base, you've got oxidation and nitration, and all that's within the normal guidelines for your report right here. So if there's something wrong, you'll see a colored circle, colored box around the number, and then somewhere in that comment section there'll be an explanation as to why they circled it.
And that was an excellent reading on an oil sample and a great explanation, and somewhere during that call we lost him, so... Hopefully he'll be able to either get back through or he'll be able to listen to it on the recording. So let's move on to another one. Let's go to Rob in Nebraska. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, guys. I had a couple questions about a couple samples I had done on my truck here. Came up about 45,000 miles I had on it, and had a severity level 4. Drained the oil, and then ran another few thousand miles on it, pulled it again, and still came back as severity level 4.
Okay, what was the reason for that?
Let's say a couple things. For the TBN, I don't have the printout in front of me, but it was a TBN was high. It had the nitrate and
What's the name on the report? Is it, you did it through OPS?
Yes, I did.
And what's the name on the report?
Thunder, Robert Hughes.
All right. Keep talking. I'm going to try to pull it out.
Okay.
Now, when you said TBN high, do you mean low?
Yeah, low. I was low. Good one,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, and what type oil are you using?
Dello, 1540.
Okay, and you only went 6,000 miles and it showed a low TBN?
Yeah, still on after I had drained, because I put the miles on the first sample, then I pulled it and set it in, and it came back severe level 4. So I just went in and went ahead and just dumped the oil, and I changed all the filters out, and then ran a few thousand miles and pulled a sample again, and it came back as severity level 4 again.
Okay, is this for unit number 30701?
Correct.
All right, keep talking. I'll pull it up.
Yeah. Anyway, the question I kind of come across on the sampling procedures, wouldn't it be better to pull a sample? Let's just say if you're on a 25,000-mile cycle, wouldn't it be better to, say, pull the oil sample at 20,000 before you got to the 25, in theory that by the time you got to your interval change, you would have your analysis back needing to tell you that, if you needed to dump the oil or make any changes or not. If you had 60,000, by the time you hit 55,000 miles, do it a couple thousand miles before the due date for your sample on her. Because kind of what I found is I pulled in and, did my service and changed all my filters and then ran a few miles, got everything mixed in there, pulled the sample, and then it comes back as severity level 4. So I went ahead and drained it all, after paying for all the filters and everything, when I should have just, I would have done it the first time around and, maybe perhaps save myself a few dollars.
Well, you could do it that way, but you got to remember what you're looking at is when you get that sample, you want to make sure you're going to be able to go to the next cycle. So if you're going to go in 20,000 miles, and the next time if you do it at 20,000 miles, you're going to get 40. So you're not going to be anywhere near that amount. You understand?
Okay.
You're going to be going to 50. In this particular sample, your base was 2.59, and then it went up to 3.32. So it wasn't a severity 4. It was a severity 3 on both of those, actually.
Okay.
And you had 41,000 miles on the oil. But usually that's a function of overheating. You've also got your viscosity up to 16.9, which is also a function of overheating. Have you had any overheating issues?
No, not at all. I mean, I haven't had any engine lights or indications at all of it overheating on me.
Did you add anything to the oil, like Lucas or anything like that?
No, that I did not.
Well, I'd be more concerned with the viscosity going up to 16.9 because you're actually in the 50 weight range there, and you were at 15.7 which is kind of at the upper end of the 40 weight with the first two samples. I mean, the first one you took at 4,000 miles, it's the next one you took at 21,000, then you took one at 41, and each one of those was increasing in viscosity. So there's something that's happening now. It's possible that this is occurring when it's going through the turbo, because it's overheating when it's in there, and even though it's a short period of time, over time it's going to keep coming up.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. When I talked to Art Cooper, he said after that last sample that's on there, he said just run an additional 10,000 miles on that sample and pull another sample out in 10,000 miles.
Okay.
That's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm just running it out.
You've got 2.3% soot, which shouldn't generate a 16.9 on the viscosity. I mean, 2.3 is well within the acceptable range. It doesn't really start to increase high until you get around 5%.
Okay.
There's something causing that oil to thicken. And usually, it's an overheating type issue.
Sure. Yeah, I haven't had any indications at all of anything running hotter than normal at all.
Well, there's no signs of any kind of antifreeze getting into the oil, so I don't think you have.
Sure,
I do have
on my ISX. I do have to add some coolant in here. When I say add, I mean maybe a half a quart or a quart, maybe once a month.
It doesn't look like that's getting into the oil, but it could. I don't think a half a quart's going to make that much of a difference. Do you, Kevin?
Sure.
In terms of heating?
No, not at all. Do you have an oil temperature gauge?
Yeah, I do.
And what under a hard
oil
pull?
Temperature, actually, oil temperature? No, I don't.
Okay. What's your water temperature running? On a hard pull, what's the highest it'll
pull,
get you?
About 220.
Yeah, that's not enough to... I mean, that's pretty normal for that engine.
Yeah.
The turbo may be the issue. We may be getting some oil overheating in the turbo itself.
And what's causing that? Would that be a sign of the turbo not cool, not working quite right?
It could be a sign of the oil cooler not working properly.
Oil cooler?
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah,
probably just
going
run
on.
These... go ahead and run out the rest of my 10,000-mile cycle, then pull another sample and see if they've gone up even more or not.
Right.
Okay.
You only got 5,000 miles on an oil, so I mean, it shouldn't be anywhere near that amount.
For just the 5,000 miles on her, sure.
Right.
And of all the filter, when I changed that filter for the 5,000, I didn't change on that 5,000 change there. I changed the full flow filters, but I did not change the OPS filter because I just did it 5,000 miles before.
Right,
that.
You didn't need to do that. But you're only, according to what you show here, you only got 3,700 miles on that oil, and it's already up to a 16.9.
Sure.
So there's something going on that's affecting that change because it should be somewhere in the mid 14s.
Should I go ahead and just pull another sample now or just go ahead and run it up to 10,000?
I'd run up to 10 and take a look, but I'd watch the temperature and see if it overheats at all.
Okay. I don't have an oil temperature gauge, but, just my water itself, seems to be normal. I guess what I'll go ahead and do is I'll pull that sample then, and I will, I'll give you a call back when I get it back in there.
Okay. I'll be here for you.
The other thing you could do, if you get anywhere near anybody that has a reader for that engine, the ECM reader,
okay,
have them pull the report on that. Let's see if we can find anything in there.
ECM report?
Yeah, it only takes 5 minutes to hook the reader up to it and see if we've got anything going on.
I mean, you're not getting any kind of wear or anything. You're not getting any kind of wear or anything like that, so I wouldn't be concerned there. You know what I mean? But there's something causing that oil to degrade quickly.
Okay. So then, when I plug in the ECM, just have them just do a regular printout and see if there's anything that looks abnormal on it.
Yeah. Exactly. Just have them pull a printout on it, and see if they notice anything out of the ordinary.
Okay. Hey, I also had another quick question here regarding an XDN tire. I don't know if you want to try to catch it tomorrow night on the issue.
Yeah, why don't we, just because we have a ton of sample questions I want to get to while we've got Tom on with us. Let's go to Utah. Victor, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yep, it's your turn.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I called and talked to you about the sample, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, Kevin, and you said it might have some blow-by, and... I don't use hardly any oil. I change my oil 18 to 20,000 miles. I change the filter, 18 to 20,000. And I might have to put a gallon. And most of the time, I don't even have to put a gallon in on that 18 to 20,000. So I can't hardly believe I got a blow-by. I have hardly any smoke. And the only time I got any smoke is when it does that hiccup, and like I've talked to you about, when I'm hit a grade and come off, and I get that hiccup. And then I get some black smoke. But other than that, I hardly ever... get any smoke coming out of it. So I just can't believe I've got that much blow-by to cause the, I think it was a nitration that was in my sample. And I think you've got that sample in front of you.
Right, I have one here. It's unit number, hang on a second, 50637?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, it looks to me like you got a little bit of soot, and it's not critical. Again, it's like 2.8%. Your viscosity is still in the 14.1 range, so you're not getting, the oil's not actually getting thick from that soot. And again, that nitration number is something, as I explained before, there's a mathematical equation in there, so I don't trust it as much as I don't give it as much credibility, because if the acid would be building, that base number would be gone entirely. And in your case, it's not happening. I mean, you've got 200,000 miles on the oil, it looks like.
Probably about 160-something thousand. I got 200,000 out of the last
It looks like when you changed that last one, it was a 200,000, and the nitration was 25. Now you got 150,000, and it's a 29. So I wouldn't be too concerned with that piece of it. And, of course, the soot being 2.8, it's starting to build up. You went to 0.6, 1.7, and 2.8, but your viscosity is still in a good range, and all of your wear metals seem to be in line. You know, you're still in a normal range for that amount of oil. I mean, you've got 85 parts per million of iron is the only thing that's even highlighted, and that's in 150,000 miles, so I wouldn't be too concerned with that at all.
Well, I sure appreciate you looking at it. I changed oil. I run another, 12,000 miles, I think, and I got a chance to had a little downtime, so I went ahead and changed it out and put new oil in there and new filters. So I was wanting to ask a question. Should I, when I change the oil, should I get a sample from the new oil as a baseline?
Not necessarily. If it's a standard brand like Shell Rotella or something like that, you don't need to do that. If it's a designer type oil, then you might want to send it in because they may not have the right formulation for it.
No,
it's a standard brand.
They've got it.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You don't need to do that.
You
might want to send in one from the old one though, just to make sure that everything is okay. I wouldn't worry about the new one, but I'd definitely send one from the oil you're taking out, so that you can keep that record going.
I'm a little late on that one.
Okay.
I was thinking you wanted a new one, and I told the guy when he put the oil in there, I had it done. I told him, I said, put me just a little bit of that new oil in there, and so I can send it, and he didn't do it. That's why I was asking, because, I didn't know.
Right.
But
you're still looking like you're getting 200,000 on one time, 150,000, 160,000 on this time. So I think it's been working pretty well for you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good night.
You have a good night.
You're welcome. Yeah, that is a... other than the nitration, and again, Tom, that's kind of what I was talking about earlier, that I see a couple like that. I'm not really sure what to do with them. But when you look at this, almost 200,000 miles on oil changes, you do 5 oil drains in 1,000,000 miles on an engine. That's pretty amazing.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. So that engine's actually doing pretty well. Let's go.
And you figure that saves you about $1,600 to $1,700 a year easily.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that's also, I mean, you can see the entire history of that 200,000 miles and know what was going on in that engine, and it was all good.
Correct.
Lisa wants to know if we can talk about designer oil.
It's finally something I can relate to.
It doesn't smell like perfume. It's oil.
Yeah, you can't go dabbing it behind your ears.
Right. Who do we have next? I'll try to pull the report up.
Okay, we've got, I don't think this is a sample, but we've got Jerry in West Virginia. It's your turn.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. You're a good man, Tom. I appreciate you being on here. My question is actually fairly simple, and I'd like to have you speak to the relationship between TBN and TAN numbers, total asset number and total base number. Is there a relationship between those two? Does one hinge on the other? And can I request a total asset number test be done?
You can. There's an extra cost for it, of course, but you can do that. But they're really an apple and an orange. Okay.
Okay.
Let me explain. Some people will go by the theory that when the two numbers cross, that's time to change the oil. That was the old, let's do it that way, okay? But it's two different methods of finding out how to come up with the numbers, right? For instance, if when they're looking at the total base number, what they do is they add an acid to the oil to neutralize it. And once it neutralizes it, they calculate how much they added, and that's how you get that number.
Okay.
When they do the acid, they use a base. But the base that they're using is not necessarily the base that's in the oil, and vice versa. As long as there's a base left, it will counteract acid.
Okay.
It's like if you took oil and vinegar and put it into a bottle and shook it with water to make your salad dressing, you still have oil and vinegar. So you do have some acids in the oil, and you do have some bases in the oil. But as long as there's a base left, it's going to be able to counteract any of the acid that develops. The two numbers aren't on the same scale.
Oh, okay. There's really, in looking at them together, there's really no reason to look at them together and correlate one to the other then.
Correct. I mean, they could say the acid is a 9 and the base is a 2, but if you actually look at the oil itself, it's not neutralized. It's still a base.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's just the way they do it.
Yeah, on a total base number, then what range would it be flagged to be a low, I guess, is my question.
Okay, the engine manufacturers say 25% of what it starts with, okay? Now, with most oils, I'm going to tell you some things so you're aware of this. If you look online, you may see Show Rotella, and it'll show that the base, the TBN to start off with, is a 12. But if you take that oil and send it into a lab, it's going to come up and say it's 8.5. The reason for that is that, I'll tell you the reason. The reason for that is that in the oil there's phosphorus that's used as a detergent.
Okay.
And the oil companies, it's also a base, but the oil companies count that phosphorus in the calculation. The oil sample companies do not, because it's not there to act as a base, it's there to act as a detergent.
Okay.
You understand? So if you start with 25% of 8.5, it's somewhere around 2.6 or 2.7, and we told the lab that 2.8 is where we want it to drop. That's where we say let's change the oil at that point.
Oh, okay. So that would be an indication to actually change it then.
Correct. Now, that being said, there are some synthetic oils and Lisa's design oils, because I know she likes to hear that word, that actually start off with a TBN around 5. We still say if it's 2.8, to change it. We don't go down to the 1.25 or whatever it is. We tell them at 2.8, it's time to change it.
But, Tom, that's a good question. Let me jump in here. Why would I want to use an oil that only has a base of 5? And is there something else about the oil that would make that base last longer?
It's actually formulated with no sulfurs in it at all, so that there's less chance of the acid being developed.
Okay.
And actually, you might see some. For instance, I got to remember, Schaefer, I believe it is. I may be wrong, but I think it's Schaefer, actually has a very high oxidation number. When you take the brand new oil, the oxidation number is about a 40.
Okay.
Because they use an oxide to be able to counteract it.
Okay. Interesting. So we might start with a much lower base number of 5 instead of 8.5,
right,
and yet the oil will last just as long.
Correct.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
That Mobil 1 is another one that's pretty low to start off with, too.
Got it. All right. Very good. Let's move along. Matt, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. You might have just answered my question. I'm calling about oxidation. I think you might have my sample in front of you there.
What would be the name on it?
Square Lake Transport.
I don't see your name. Let me keep talking. I'll pull it up from the other place.
Okay.
So what kind of oil are you using?
It's the Castrol Elexon 5W30. Full synthetic.
That may be one of those ones that have that.
Yeah, once you get there, I mean, I got 119,000 on the oil now, but all the way back from when I put this oil in from scratch, drain the oil, I've had a high oxidation.
All right, well, that's probably what it is then. Did the sample come back and tell you that there was a problem with it, or just?
Oh, I've talked to Artie a few times about it, and I mean, he's thinking now maybe to change the oil, but, I mean, there's nothing else wrong with the oil other than...
Okay, which unit are you looking at? I got 3 units here for you.
680.
680, okay. Yep. Let me pull that up. You see, the one last one you did was on the 13th?
Yep.
All right, let me pull it up here and see what it says.
And if you're looking there, you can go all the way back to sample number 12. That's when I changed the oil. And that sample there...
If it was me, I wouldn't worry about it, because you've got your viscosity is low. Is it 30 weight oil? Yeah, it's 30 weight oil. Your viscosity is not low because you're in the 30 weight range. Yep. You're at the upper end of the 30-weight range, and your base is 7.02, so I wouldn't be concerned at all. You got a 0.3 soot and less than 1% of fuel. I don't see
as long as the viscosity and the TBN stay normal there, just ignore oxidation.
Right, as long as that's the viscosity you want to work with, right? Is it the 5W30?
Yep.
Is there a reason why you're using 5W30? Are you running the cold climates or...
Yeah, Minnesota.
We're city Minnesota, I guess you do. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. But as long as you stay within, it's 12.2 down to 9.2, I believe, for the 30-weight oil. So you're right around 11. You're fine.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, the oxidation is high, but it could be part of that oil. If it's been high since the beginning, I'm guessing that's why.
Yeah, I mean, at first we... drained 3 gallons out just to sweeten it, and I mean, nothing ever changed. I bought oil by the barrel, but I went and bought some from a different location, and
just to see,
nothing changed.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with that type of oil, so I couldn't tell you, but I could go and look. Not right now, I can't, but I can always look on Exelon and see how many other people have that oil and see if it's the same.
Okay.
So. If I'll do that, and what I'll do is I'll give Lisa or Kevin the information, and they can get it to you.
Alrighty.
All right.
All right. Actually, those for 120,000 miles, those numbers sound pretty good on that oil.
Yeah, they're real good. I mean, he has no wear at all the way across the board here. I mean, he's got a little bit of lead, but 48 on the iron and over 120,000 miles. That's really nothing.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yep.
Let's go to Columbus this time. Harold, welcome to the program. Oh, hold on 1 second. Let me try that again. Harold, welcome to the program.
Hello. How are you doing this lovely evening?
Good, Harold.
Doing
how
good.
Are you?
Hey, you got my sample up there?
I'm pulling it up right now. Unit number 69017?
Correct.
Okay, I got it.
It's flag for lead and soot.
And soot.
But
right.
And
your base is getting low, too.
Yep.
How many miles you got in this engine? 500,000? It hasn't been rebuilt yet, has it?
Nope.
When do you plan on rebuilding it?
I don't plan on it.
Okay. I think you may have to start taking a look because you're getting some chrome, some chromium. And the lead's coming up a little bit, and the iron's coming up a little bit, and those are indications of the bearings starting to wear. And the soot coming to 8.4, bringing your viscosity to 17.7, usually means that you've got a lot of blow-by somewhere. So the cylinder regions, the pistons, the rings, the liners are getting to the point where they're starting to fatigue a little bit faster than normal here. What engine is this? It's a Detroit. Kevin, what do you think about 600,000 is the normal? 700,000?
Boy, on a Detroit, I hate to even touch them before a million.
Well, there's something going on with this one.
What year is it?
It has a DPF filter.
Oh, yeah. See, we're still getting some. We're getting to the point on a lot of the DPF engines now where they're hitting these higher miles. And I think that, maybe that million-mile mark that we've been so used to on the Detroits just isn't going to be as realistic anymore. The EGR and the DPF, it's just hard on an engine. And I think as we get up into these, 600,000 and 700,000 range with some of these engines, we are seeing that they do need to be in-framed earlier.
All right.
How much oil are you using between samples?
With that 60,000 miles, there's 2 gallons for the filter change and 1 gallon of makeup.
In how many miles?
In about 60,000.
You only use 1 gallon of oil in 60,000 miles?
Yep.
Damn, that's good.
How often are you sampling?
Where's that soot coming?
Like, I change my filter regularly, but I kind of forgot to pull the sample the last couple times. But then this is about 50,000 miles. Well, there's 120,000 on the oil itself.
Right. Yeah, you had a big, you went 70,000 miles between the last sample. That's not a good thing to do, by the way.
No.
Yeah, it really kind of, I mean, it makes it hard to really see what's going on. But the filters were changed at the normal interval?
Correct.
I'm looking back at this one, and back in 2009 to March, he went 78,000 miles and still had high iron, high lead, and high aluminum, even at that point. And something's fatigued in there somewhere. Something is definitely not right. Because he changed it, and then it stayed okay for a while, and then it started to climb again. But he had showing only at 350,000 miles, so you had 78,000 miles on the oil, and it looked like it was starting to fatigue right there.
Right. So this engine was shot when I first got this truck.
Well, I don't know if it was shot, but there's definitely something wasn't right with it, I can tell you that.
Yeah,
those numbers
are
pretty high. Yeah, for 78,000 miles, iron of 205 is pretty high. Usually it's about, one for every 1,000 miles, 1 point. And you got 205, so that's pretty high. And you also have aluminum at 73, and you also have lead at 138. So all those things together, or taken together, are not good. You have no problem with the turbo at all, do you?
It always wants that jackhammer. It always has that. I don't know exactly what's going on in there, but when I get into a pull, she'll like jackhammer.
Well, that could be creating some of that soot issue. I don't know. I may be stumped on this one, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm. This one isn't making a whole lot of sense either.
No. Here's what they're suggesting. They're suggesting that you check the air-to-fuel ratio, the timing, check your air intake or exhaust restriction, because you got a lot of soot, and your bearing metal is a severe level. So it's the cylinder regions, pistons, rings, and liners. And, of course, it looks like it's been overheated because your base number is shot on both times. Back in the 78,000 miles of last year and the 120,000 this year, you've basically run it out. And that usually occurs because the chemicals get overheated. So there's something somewhere. It's not good.
You know what you might just want to look at? I'm not looking at the sample. Has an oil change been done, or should he be doing an oil change now?
I would say he's doing oil change now because this is getting up pretty high and the base is really shot on it. And the soot's 8.4, so the viscosity is 17.7. He's not getting anywhere near the protection he should be getting. So I would do an oil change now. But
the other thing I would look at is airflow through this whole engine, intake, air filter, charger, cooler, and exhaust. And I know with the DPF we just get a lot of back pressure on these engines, but you might want to just have them verify that DPF's working right.
Right. Is he still there?
Oh, no, I guess he isn't. I don't know what happened to him. All right, well, let's move on. We'll follow up with him on that. Let's go to David in Arizona. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think you guys have probably got an oil sample there at least sent over to you.
Would it be web trucking?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me pull it up.
While you're looking at that one, one of the things I want to mention is you look at some of the calls we've had tonight, 200,000 miles on oil, 150,000 miles on oil several times. You know, the savings and the benefits to this is just, I mean, it's really apparent when you start seeing those numbers, not only in the fact that we're not changing the oil, but the fact that the oil's been kept clean that whole time, we've been monitoring the oil that whole time, so when there is a problem or a problem occurs, we're catching it. You know, I'm still amazed because I thought 15 years ago when I started, using bypass filtration and extending drains that this would really become the norm in the industry because it makes so much sense. here we are 15 years later, and it's still, it's the minority that's doing this.
Right. Only the smart ones.
I know.
All right, I got it here. What was your question?
Okay, well, I got high iron, high potassium, soot, and nitration with it all flagged on that. And I guess my question is I'm kind of new to the sampling on this. I don't know exactly sure what abnormal is and when I should be changing my oil if I got problems and so forth.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Have you had anything done internally to the engine since the last sample?
No, not since the last sample, no.
Okay, potassium and sodium are two things that usually come from glycol, okay? You have a little bit of sodium and some potassium, but it's usually a 5-to-1 ratio where the sodium's higher than the potassium. In your case, you got potassium, and that usually comes from the flux that's used on like a charge air cooler or an oil cooler, or it comes from the preservative that they put around bearings before they put them in, prevent the rust coating. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
So if they didn't need that kind of work, that's where that potassium came from, because it was 19 last time, it's 20 this time. So if you did any work on it just before you put the system on, that's where that potassium is coming from. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. In terms of the iron, it looks like you got 1,000,000 miles on this engine.
Yeah, 119,000 miles ago, I did put a new head on it, put new rings, bearings. It wasn't using any oil, but I figured while I was in there that deep, I might as well just go ahead and check those components. So I did. So I wouldn't call it a total in-frame, but it was kind of a partial in-frame, which I know Kevin doesn't approve of, but that's
okay,
what I did at
you
the
did,
time.
But you did rings at 119,000 miles ago, is that what you said?
Yes.
All right, well, that's where that iron's coming from, because they're reseating themselves. So it's kind of like you're doing a break-in again of your engine. If it was a brand-new engine, it was 147 for iron and less than 100,000 miles, there would be no concern whatsoever, because it's
okay.
Normal for that to happen, okay? In terms of the potassium, that's probably where that potassium came from. Something had a rust preventative sealant on it, and that's where that came from. And again, the nitration is the same thing I spoke about before, where it's a mathematical calculation, and I'm not really overly concerned with those kind of things.
Okay, and how about the soot?
Your soot being 2.6 and the silicon is 8, okay, what I would say is just make sure you check your air filter, because that silicon is sand and it's getting in there somewhere. 2.6 isn't that high. It's not affecting your oil viscosity that much. You're still at a 14.3, so you're still in a pretty good range there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, and I got one more question about the EcoPure itself. Sometimes I'll be traveling and I'll stop and I'll check my oil and stuff and I'll reach down and I'll grab that filter, the EcoPure filter, and it's not hot. Shouldn't it be hot all the time, as hot as what the oil is itself?
It should be, yes. So maybe there's a flow issue with that. The best thing I do is tell you to give Artie a call.
Okay.
Okay, and he'll get you directed to one of the technicians.
All right, and with that, Tom, we are just about out of time. Why don't you wrap it up with a quick cost on the system, any deals you guys are running, and a phone number.
Okay, the cost of the EcoPure system is $683.50. We also break it up into $685.50, I'm sorry. We break it up into five payments, form of $137.10. We have the new head is out for the OPS system. If they want to use the conversion head, it's $99.75, then they can use the EcoPure filters. And that's about it for the specials. The other thing to do to call is to call Artie at 203-346-1832, and he'll be happy to take your order.
All right, give that number one more time.
It's 203-346-1832.
Okay, and that'll go directly to Artie?
Directly to Artie.
All right, outstanding. Great stuff tonight. I know we left a lot of calls on the line, so we're going to have to do this again real soon. Will you come back with us?
Just let me know when you want to be. I'll be there.
Fantastic. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight. If we didn't get to your call, we will we'll do this again real soon. So we'll send out an email, let you know when we're going to have Tom back. And every time we do, we always get flooded with these kind of calls. I appreciate it. And we'll We'll do it again soon. Remember, be safe, be profitable, be responsible. Vote coming up here real soon, and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.